Invite you into the New Testament, into the book of James. It is quite extraordinary. It's one of those things I was sort of taking for granted until I was walking over to our children this morning to imagine that what we have is not only the life of Jesus, not only the Old Testament, but, you know, we have accounts. We have witnesses of people that had followed Jesus and offer us these words and offer us these places. But This is the scripture that I was offering to our children. It comes from James. It's James, the very first chapter. It's a couple of verses, just 19 through 21. This is a translation of the Bible. It's the New Living Translation, a little bit different than what I normally use on Sunday morning. But that's what we're going to take a look at. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, as it has already been well noticed from the children's moment. It's not any easier to follow as adults as it is as children, but these are the words that James writes. James chapter 1, starting at verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God has been planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we come before you and as we worship together in this space, we pray and ask, O God, that you truly will begin to plant your words into our lives. Lord, we recognize that in the sheer power of your words, that they have the ability to come to life. And we just pray and ask that as our hearts come together and as we meditate upon your words, that you truly will, O God, bring these words to life. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have shared with me. Thank you for the words that you have placed in my heart, and I pray that as I preach this morning, that in all that I say, the words that I share, O Lord, I pray they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. I will say that this is one of those A couple of weeks ago, I told you, one of my children on Sunday morning caught me preaching, so it was the second time that I was preaching my sermon like this. I did learn from that, because this is a story that I want to start with that nobody in the house caught me with. I sort of kept it to myself. But, you know, not too long ago, we reluctantly on my part, but we got a dog. We have a puppy that runs around with us and runs around all over the place. And I will get in trouble. I will get in trouble with the puppy sometimes because, my reluctance to even having a puppy around and my reluctance to even having a dog around. I will get in trouble with the puppy because it is so much fun for me to get him angry. And it is so easy to do. There are a couple of triggers that he has that you can shake the gate that keeps him from going upstairs. You can also knock on the door, and he will immediately, he will come running and will let out the highest-pitched scream and yelp that you have ever heard, and it happens instantly. It will just happen, and it will be there. And so it's a lot of fun for me. It's a lot of fun for me to do that. The rest of my family doesn't like it when I do that. But I will say this. That kind of fun to be able to do with a dog that's moving around in the house, and that kind of fun that it is to do with this puppy that is there. I do pray. I pray almost on a daily basis that he will outgrow this as he grows and as he matures, that he will outgrow this anger. But the fun that it is to do it with a dog, when we do it as parents, not so much fun. It's not so much fun when we do that, when we find ourselves just, and how many of you know, that's a phrase I wanted to share with my children, but with the children this morning, but I knew that they wouldn't get it. How many of you know that phrase, flying off the handle? This is what I think about when I read this section of scripture from James. Ask any of the children that you saw this morning. I'm not sure if they're going to get it. I don't know if they're going to know that flying off the handle phrase. But when you are parenting, and particularly that when we are trying to do this, as we have been talking about for a couple of weeks now, that we're trying to do this where we're making our parenting spiritual. And I know that not all of us have puppies and have children that are running around our house, but all of us are called to be spiritual parents. There are people that God places in our lives. There are people that are around us that need us to be the kind of parents, and oftentimes the kind of spiritual parents that are going to live these words out of James, as which James reminds us that we should be really, really slow to talk, and also that we should be really, really slow to get angry, and really, really fast to listen. How many times have you noticed that when we talk and we get angry, and you know, one of those things that that I was wanting to share with our children, you know, just the kind of facial expressions that we have, like a listening face. And when I was in school so many years ago, you know, what it means to put on your listening ears. You know, there's a kind of stance, there's a kind of posture that we take when we're really listening. And it's one of those things that, you know, they may not use the phrase, but they continue. You know, it's one of those things that continues to happen when we find ourselves in classrooms. But you know, when we talk about our faces, you know, what is that kind of expression? What is that kind of face? Expression that we have when we are listening, when we are slow to just run our mouths, to run off our mouths, and what is that kind of face that we have when we get angry? It's a little bit harder for us as adults. Because what we recognize is that it's not only our faces, but what does it mean? What does it mean to do exactly what James is inviting us to do? What does it mean to pray to God and then actually follow what God may be speaking into our hearts and our minds and our souls? What does it mean to do this? To not just do it in our faces, but what does it mean to actually to be very quick to listen and very slow to get angry? Have you ever noticed that when we talk and when we get angry, that there's one way of thinking? There's not only what the expression comes across on our face, but it's almost like there's a certain way that we're thinking. And then on the other hand, that when we listen, there is a completely different way of thinking. You ever picked up on that? You ever noticed that? That when we do, that when we're actively listening, that there's a different way that we seem to be thinking. How many of you remember this scripture that the Apostle Paul writes that comes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know those words? You know, what does it mean for us to have minds that are transformed by the renewing of what God is actually doing in our lives? God is actually doing in our minds. And just asking that question, is there a transformed and renewed mind that shows us kind of a right way of thinking that can help us to actually begin to practice what James is inviting us to practice? Well, one of the interesting things about this is that it's not necessarily right or wrong in the way that we're thinking. That's not the way that we find a renewed mind. But it's more like what James is encouraging us to do in this text from this morning. The kind of thinking that happens when we're angry and when we are speaking, as opposed to the kind of thinking that we do when we're listening, comes down to this kind of fast and slow thinking. When I read this section of scripture from James, I not only thought about the puppy that runs around, that it's so fun to make angry, but also remembered this book by Daniel Kahneman that was written several years ago. It's called Thinking Fast and Slow. But essentially, it's a brilliant book. It's a wonderful book. But he passed in all kinds of research, all kinds of studies about how people think. And he distinguishes these two models of thought. And he says that fast thinking is this kind of automatic, intuitive, emotional thinking. That's the kind of fast thinking that we have. And it's the kind of thinking that we employ when we recognize faces. It's the kind of thinking that we have when we're reading simple sentences. And also the kind of thinking that when we do get angry, when we're instantly reacting to danger. That's the kind of fast thinking. But slow thinking, on the other hand, is deliberate. It's logical. This is one of our children were touching on this morning when they were talking about being in that quiet stance. But slow thinking is deliberate. It's logical. It's what we have to use. It's what we use when we're solving complex problems, when we're making deliberate decisions and focusing our attention. And therefore, when James is writing this, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Our anger often comes in this kind of fast reaction, this reactionary way of thinking. It's kind of interesting, and I don't know if you've ever really thought about this, but thought about the amount of times that we do. As human beings, the times that we do spend talking. How many words on an average day do most of us engage in? How many words do we actually use? I knew I was going to ask the question, so I looked it up to see if there was actually an answer. It's really interesting that this study that was published in 2007, it's in the journal Science, but in the journal Science, it says that on average that most adults in the United States, and this is close to 400 participants that they so not a super large study, but about 400 folks. They said that on average, it's about 16,000 words a day that we speak. That's about 16,000 words that we speak in a single day. The interesting thing about this is that the totals for men and women were nearly identical. So y'all thought that I was really going to call out one side or the other, but they said they're about identical. But imagine that when James is asking us to slow down our thinking, slow down our talking, it could be really difficult because we've got 16,000 words that are going to emerge. But listening, on the other hand, that's when we do. That's when we find ourselves slowing down our thinking, which requires focus, it requires attention, indicating this kind of slow way of thinking. Interesting thing about this is that there have been several, and that's what it is, there are several workplace studies that have emerged, and particularly there are a few that have emerged just since 2020, just since the COVID epidemic, that have come out that says that managers who engage in a kind of active listening, that people that are managing other people, that when they engage in active listening, their employees trust them more, they're more productive, they're more empathetic about the assignments that they get assigned, and all kinds of other just a wealth of trust that gets built up just to have a manager that is an active listener. And active listening is nothing more than paying attention. It's just kind of listening without judgment. It's focusing on, what can I understand in this situation? What can I understand that the other person is actually saying here? And so, again, if it can work in workplaces, and if it can work with managers, imagine what doing exactly what James is inviting us to do. Imagine what it can do in our own homes. Imagine what it can do in the places where we find ourselves working, in the places where we find ourselves gathering. Imagine what it can do with our own families, as well as the spiritual families that God brings us together, not only in moments like this, but in moments also when we face, as our prayer requests remind us of, when we face some very difficult places in this world. Jesus, in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, will offer this parable about not covering up light. You probably remember this parable, but he says that if you're going to light a candle, you're not going to cover it up. You're going to let your light shine. And you're going to let your light shine in such a way that gives illumination to the whole house, the whole space that it's there. But also in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, it's not only offering your light, not covering up your light, but also Jesus will remind his disciples, pay attention to how you listen. This is what James is inviting us to do. every single one of us, is to take this slow, deliberate kind of thinking. And that is the way that we maintain this very beautiful picture of being people who are slow to get angry, slow to speak, and fast to listen. Because as we know, and when we really consider our anger, and James reminds us of this, it's James chapter 1, verse 20, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, that is likely a verse that should be taped to all of our bathroom mirrors, that human anger does not produce the kind of righteousness that God desires. But it's one thing to know this. It's even one thing to sort of tease out, you know, that there really are these different ways of thinking in our minds, that there really is this kind of thinking that comes reactionary, that it's fast. That's what feeds our anger. It's also a lot of times what feeds our mouths when we just start talking. But then there's this kind of slow that's more deliberate. It's this kind of thinking that puts us in a place where we're able to listen to one another and actively listen to one another. And so it's one thing to know this, but how do we actually do it? How do we actually practice it? And in fact, it's one thing. It's one thing even in a space like this, in the sanctuary, to convince ourselves to have those best of intentions and say, yes, this is something that's life-changing. Yes, this is something that I can practice. It's one thing to do that here. It's one thing to even sit in front of your computer and do it online too. But how do we do it in the parking lot? How do we do it at lunch? How do we do it when we find ourselves going in to pick up chicken at the grocery store, and then we're told that it's going to be 35 to 40 minutes late, that, you know, you're going to have to wait that time? How do we do this? Something that has happened recently. But not just at the store. What about at school? What about at home? What about when we find ourselves in car lines? Well, James reminds us that we have a choice. That we do have a choice in this. Understand this. This is how we started. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And notice how beautiful a couple of verses come together in the Bible. This is the place where if you actually have a printed Bible in your hand, I would remind you, I would say, I want you to do this. I want you to take this reading from James, from this New Testament reading, and then I want you to also flip to a letter that Paul writes to the Philippians. If you have it electronically, and if you're a little bit quicker than I am on electronic devices, you could actually highlight it. You could copy it, and you can do that really cool thing about placing both verses side by side. You can have them parallel to each other. But I would invite you to take this verse from James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And I would invite you to take that scripture and place it alongside a verse that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians. And it's one of those places where Paul sort of emerges out of his life. But it's Philippians chapter 4, it's verse 8. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. It's the updated edition of that version. But this is what Paul writes close to the end of the letter. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Because what James and what Paul are both doing is they are not only teaching about this life that Jesus has invited us to embrace, but in these letters, they are very much letting their own lives emerge out of this and saying, this is how we live. And so when James is inviting us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, and then when Paul is reminding us that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, think about these things, that's how we do it. You see, not only Not only do our brains have these fast and slow ways of thinking, not only do our brains react sometimes different than when we're in a stance when we're listening, but we have an opportunity to do what Paul will say to the Romans. We have an opportunity to let our minds be renewed, to allow God to transform our minds, because we have a role to play in our own fast and slow thinking. We have opportunities to engage our slow, deliberate thinking by focusing on things that are good and true and beautiful. And you remember well that practice with our kids this morning. What does your angry face look like? What does your listening face feel like? But beyond our own facial expressions, turning toward our own lives, our intentional making parenting spiritual, there's an opportunity for us to truly offer thinking that is transformative and life-changing. The kind of stuff that Romans chapters 12, 2 invites us to embrace. This is why James will say that it is well within our own capacity as human beings to do exactly what James 1:21 says. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word of God that has been planted in your hearts, where it has the power to save your souls. Is there any doubt that if any of us, if we began to firmly plant these words of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, words where the Apostle Paul will say, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then, with that word planted in our hearts, imagine the kind of filth, imagine the kind of evil that would be displaced in our own thoughts, and ultimately, in the way that we live, our own behavior. This is what James knew so well. Get rid of the filth and evil, the kind of fast, the kind of reactive, judgmental thinking, and embrace this slow, deliberate, focused attention kind of thinking. And imagine if the word planted in our hearts becomes, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Imagine the transformation that God would do, not only in renewing our own minds, but also in the lives that we live together. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the minds that you have created in each of us, for the minds that you have shaped. We thank you, O God, for opportunities to truly embrace, Lord, the life that you have equipped us to live. And Lord, we pray that you will let us be quick to listen. Let us be slow to speak and slow to get angry. And let us search for those things that are honorable, for those things that are true and just. Let us, oh God, embrace those things that are pure, those things that are pleasing. And let us, oh God, continue on that path that you have uncovered for us of a more excellent way lived in the kingdom of heaven. We pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.